Okay, we're continuing our study through this year on the open tour, and a couple of weeks ago I talked about striving to enter every open door God gives us. We're often quick to rush through an open door that maybe a friend gives you, or maybe the world offers you, and we're quick to run and do whatever we can to make a quick buck to get that job or to get the girl. But I want us to be quick to going through God's doors, no matter how hard. Isaiah 43, if you will. I want to talk this morning a little bit more about the Christian life and that it is going to be hard. Isaiah chapter 43. Made a long list of things studying for this, a long set of truths about the Christian life. And, you know, really, I didn't find any verse that told me it was going to be easy. I didn't find any verse that told me it was going to be easy to love your neighbor, or love your wife, love your husband, love your kids. It wasn't ever going to be easy to forgive. It wasn't going to be easy to read my Bible. It wasn't going to be easy to get up every Sunday morning for church and every Sunday night for church and every Wednesday night for church. It wasn't going to be easy to open my mouth and give the gospel out. I didn't find verses that told me it was going to be a breeze. I found verses like this one, Isaiah 43 verse 2. Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Look at the last part, or look at the first part of verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Really, passing through floodwaters, going through raging rivers, going through fire. Most of us really, really hoped when we got saved that we were finding the blessed life, the easy life, the good life, not the hard life. Really, honestly, sometimes doing the will of God is one of the most painful things you'll ever do. Laying down your own desires, laying down your own plans, and laying down your own fears in exchange for God's will be very painful. In other words, some of God's doors, if not most of them, are going to be hard to go through. But I have found that when I do go through them, He has always given me something more valuable, more precious, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I have found at every time there was a door that God opened for me and that I was supposed to go through, it was hard. I'm going to say to you this morning, I'm going to surprise you. It is hard to get saved, but isn't it worth it? It's not hard to, we're not talking about earning salvation. It's hard to get to the place where I finally let Him save me. And the embarrassment, the persecution is worth it. Every door God's given me, when God called me to preach, I'll use the illustration of that, where when God called me to preach, you talk about terror, you talk about, I thought God was insane, either He was or I was. And that door was going to be a very hard door to go through, but it's been worth it. It's been worth it. I want to encourage you. I asked the Lord for an encouraging message, and I hope He gave it to me. Because I said, I struggled and argued with God, saying, God, I know most everybody needs to be encouraged. So I hope this is that encouraged message. It has encouraged me. I believe that what seems to be hard in your life and painful that you're going through, we all wish for a spiritual helicopter to come pick us up and pull us out of the situation. But what we consider to be hard and painful, God has promised to turn it around for your good if you'll trust Him to do it. And if you'll believe that He can. Many times we don't believe God can do what He says He will do. He says, you'll go through fire, but the flame will not hurt you. You go through water, but it will not overflow you. And we think, you get into a problem, we think, I'm going to die. We have to learn to worship Him through it all. And I have an illustration for you from a pastor that I know who told me, he wrote me this story. He said he learned this lesson in a nursing home in Mississippi back in 1986. He was a young pastor himself, and he was just starting a nursing home ministry, kind of like what we're doing. Yesterday, the teens and John and Dan and Kathy went to the Powder Mills nursing home, and they sang and gave their testimony. Well, this pastor did the same thing. And he met a 26-year-old woman named April at that nursing home. She only had deformed legs and arms because her mom had taken a strong sedative called thalidomide when she was pregnant with April. So from birth, she never had teeth, and she never had more than a scattering of hair. She had been bedridden all her life, and most of that life was spent in a convalescent in a nursing home. And a nurse explained to him one day that her parents, who were very wealthy, never came to visit her. They were embarrassed of their daughter. When the pastor would come and the people would come out of their rooms for a general meeting in the activities center, April would be wheeled into that room for that afternoon of gospel music and preaching time. There she would sing and she would have a great time in the Lord. She often gave her testimony of how God had saved her and how much she loved Jesus. She had such a great attitude, always smiling, always saying good things. And the staff all loved her, and she was always seemingly happy. Well, one Sunday after the meeting, he stayed in April's room by her bed speaking with her, and she said, "I want to sing that song again." He said, "Which song?" She said, "My favorite song, Amazing Grace." And he tells the story on, and he says, "While we were singing it together, I could tell something wrong was happening. She stopped singing and started grimacing in pain, and which was obviously getting worse. I could see her whole body and her face tense up as tears started pouring down her face. I called a nurse over and told her something was very wrong. Nurse hurried over and said there was nothing to worry about. She said often bedridden people like April would cramp up on occasion, with every muscle in their body tensing up. It was painful but no harm, and it would soon pass. As the pain subsided, I was sure after this intense pain, April would finally show to me that there was an anger, that there was a harsh side to her condition. And what she did next shocked me and defined my ministry," he says. "April looked up at me and said, 'Will you please forgive me?' I could not understand that question. I said, 'April, what in the world for?' And she said, 'I did not mean to stop singing. Will you please forgive me for not finishing the song with you?' I was expecting her to curse God, to curse her parents, to curse the place that she was trapped in, but she asked me for forgiveness. I couldn't imagine hardly a worse condition than this young girl, yet she asked me to forgive her for something that was out of her control. I learned that day that there is a God of all comfort. I learned that day that anything that I would go through in this life, God could deliver me, just as He had done April. People ask me why I smile so much," the pastor said. And he said, "It isn't hard to understand. It's not that I don't have any problems. It's because I have a God of all comfort." And that blew me away. Now, folks, I want to pray, and then I want to tell you the Christian life is hard, but God makes up for it. Father, please bless this thought, this truth, this reality that April discovered, and yet 99% of the rest of the Christians haven't. So please, God, break our hard hearts and help us to know the God of all comfort and be able to trust that it's worth it. Lord, help us put up with some tough situations. Help us to overlook some sin in other people's lives. Help us to get over the pain and the trials we go through for you, because you're worthy, and boy, are you worthy. And as Brother Martin prayed earlier, if somebody here is not saved, oh, may they be born again today. May they realize the troubles they're in are only the beginning. It only gets worse. never ends. Because there is no hope without Jesus Christ, no salvation without Him saving their soul. And for the Christian, this is as bad as it gets. It's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. May we look up and rejoice in you, not in our life anymore. Because life is a vapor. Jesus is eternal. Bless us this morning, Lord, with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to start off, if you'll take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 9. And I want to just remind you that the Christian life is not an easy life, and it never has been an easy life. By the way, I want to say, we've got some people that are going to join the church this morning, so I look forward to that. And we'll have a time of that at the very end. Luke chapter 9 and verse 22. Jesus said these words. He said this, Luke 9:22, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised again the third day." And he said to them all, "If any man will come after the likes of me, I'm going through some trouble. And if you're going to follow me, let him deny himself." Let him deny his wants. Let him deny his complaints. Let him deny his needs. And let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save and protect his life is going to what? He's going to lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what shall a man be advantaged if he gain the whole world and yet lose himself? Or be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. And there are plenty of people who are. There are people ashamed of the King James Bible. There are people ashamed of going to a church like we have on a Sunday morning. They go on to go to an entertainment center. Or they want something that doesn't interrupt their lifestyle. But Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Christian life is not easy. Never has been. Let's ask Jonah. Jonah, was it easy to obey God and go to Nineveh? You know what he'd say? It was the hardest thing I ever did. Hey, let's ask Noah and his wife. Noah, was it easy building that ark with your wife for 120 years? Out in the desert, everybody mocking you, making fun of you, laughing at you, rejecting you. Was it easy? Let's ask Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Was it easy leaving everything behind you for the promised land that you'd never seen? Was it easy? No. Let's ask David. David, you're anointed to be king, and yet you're running from Saul for 7 years. Was it easy to wait on God that long? Let's ask Caleb and Joshua, was it easy trusting God when your eyes told you to give up? When your eyes and all the crowd said it is impossible to go into the promised land, was it easy for you to say, let's go in anyway? It was not. Let's ask Peter and Paul and the disciples, was it easy putting up with such intense persecution and following Jesus when it would cost them their lives? Was it easy? And then maybe we should ask Jesus, was it easy doing your Father's will? I've never endured what he had to endure, and yet he did. I wonder if he wanted to be our example. So the Christian's life is not easy. End of story. You get over this idea that, I don't understand how come it's supposed to be so hard. It is. And I believe as we get closer to the end, it's going to get harder. Second point, there are some things that are hard about being a Christian that we forget. First of all, did you know it's hard to get saved? As a matter of fact, it's downright impossible to get saved. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Take your Bible. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 22. People really have the idea it's very easy to get saved if you're just sincere. You just get baptized. Join the church. That's all you have to do. Did you know those things are easy to do? Yet Christ says the opposite. Look at Matthew 19, verse 22. But when the young man heard what Jesus had said, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now to them that was shocking, because as far as they had been taught by the rabbis, if you're rich, it means God likes you. And if you're poor, God doesn't like you. So if it is so hard for a rich man to get in, watch what they say next. He says, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I say it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. We'd say gobsmacked. Saying, who then can be saved? Is that a good, valid question? If those likable guys, if those powerful people, those God-blessed people, and don't you believe it? Hey, when you have a good job and you're able to buy a brand new car and you can buy a new house and you get all these new, don't you feel that God is shining on you? Huh? Smiling on you? Being good to you? That's how they all felt about riches. And Jesus said, it's impossible for those birds to get saved. Amen. And those people who had nothing, and they just scraped together the ability to live every day, and they thought God was against them, they said, well, who's able to get saved then? That's a good question. Look at what else he says. Next verse, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them. He just looked at them. And he said unto them, with men this is impossible. But with God all things are possible. So God's able to save anybody. He's able to save everybody. Because only he can save. It's impossible for good people to get saved. It's impossible for bad people to get saved. But with God, anybody can get saved. Does that make sense? All right. So look at Luke 13. Luke 13. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke 13. Luke 13, 24. That's not what I want. I have Luke 13, 24, but that's not the verse I'm looking for. I'm looking for the verse that says, and it's actually probably in Matthew, where Jesus says, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. Sorry? It's Matthew 7. Yeah, 22 and 23. And Jesus said, I don't know you. So there are people who pray the right things. They're even able to do right things. They think that they're good. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Matthew, 7:21. I'm sorry, thank you. I think 24 may be it. Yes, it is the last part of verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, straight meaning hard. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So, as Brother Joseph was talking this morning about Jesus being the door, is the door open for everyone? Yes or no? Yes. Do people who want to get saved always find it easy to get saved? No, because they won't go through just Jesus. And they won't go through as a sinner. They won't meet God's qualifications. You know, Nita was telling me in the Sunday school, she asked last week or the week before, she said, did you know Jesus died for sinners? And they all went, yes. He said, are you sinners? And they went, all of them went, no. And Nita went, then I'm sorry, God can't save you. And they all went, because Jesus can only save sinners. Amen. And it was a great revelation for them to realize, I guess we are sinners. Amen. But some people come to the door and they can't go in. They try to enter in and they aren't able. Because it's hard to admit, I deserve hell. Amen? It's hard to admit that. Show you another one. Look at Matthew 5. Go back to Matthew 5, verse 20. Jesus said this, Matthew 5, 24, I say unto you that except your righteousness your goodness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And boy, were they good at jotting every dot and every tittle and trying to do the law. He says, except your righteousness exceeds their righteousness, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got to be better than them. Whew. I'm glad my righteousness is not enough. I got perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and it outshines them all. You understand? It is impossible to get saved. No matter how hard a person tries, they will never be perfect. They will never be good enough to get to heaven. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Go to Matthew 18 now. Matthew 18, verse 3. Speaking to grown men. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Verily I say unto you. When he says verily, he means it. He means, you better listen up. This is real. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. That's another word for born again. Changed. Except ye be converted and become as little what? He's talking to 40, 50, 60-year-old men. And he's saying to Jesus, Jesus is saying to all of them, you got to start all over. Amen. Except you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. Baptism is easy to do. Do you know, as cold as the water is in Ireland, it's easy to get baptized. Amen. But it's not part of the new birth. Did you know, joining a church is easy? Maybe a little scary. But it's easy. But it's not part of the new birth. Did you know praying a prayer is easy? But it's not part of the new birth. That doesn't earn your salvation. Getting all your sins washed away and forgiven and being made perfectly right with God, that's hard. Amen? As a matter of fact, it's impossible. That's why you got to let Him do it all. Amen? It is so impossible. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse, it is so impossible that God says He promises that He'll even help you get saved when you don't know what to pray, when you don't know what to do. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 2. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. You know what that means? While you're still breathing. Because there will be a time where God will not hear the cries of people and the screams and the demands to be saved. He will not hear it. When is that? When they're in hell after death. I have heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. That's a French word. It means like this, like if Brother Joseph didn't have the crutch, and I hold on to him, he leans on me, and I carry him through the door. There is the door there. I'm stuck here. I don't know how to even pray and ask God to save me. I don't even know how to trust Christ. And the Bible says, what did I do, lose it? Oh, you put your hand up. Sorry. And I don't even know how to trust Him. And the Bible says that God Himself will come and carry me through the door if I'll just yield to Him. In that day, I will secure thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's no reason not to get saved. There's no reason why not to get saved. Because He'll help you. Do you know, Jesus paid off every sin debt you owe to God. Paid it off. You didn't have to ask Him. You didn't have to beg Him. You didn't have to do anything for Him to pay it all off. It's done. As the Lamb of God, He came to take away the sins of the whole world. And in reality, you and I don't do just a few little mistakes in our lives. A sprinkling of sins here and there. You and I sin and break God's laws all the time. You know what? I found out, and I'll teach it tonight. I can't but do wrong. Even my kindnesses are selfish. Amen? Whether you admit it or not, you are a sinner and in trouble with an all-holy God. But God will take all your sins if you'll just let Him. He'll place them on His Son, and then He'll take all of Christ's righteousness and His goodness and His purity and His relationship and everything that's good about him and put it on you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Why? Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. And when he died, guess what? When he rose up, he had no more sin on him. He took it to hell. He dumped it in there, and he rose up without sin. And all my sins are gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Amen? Praise God. For you and me, it's impossible to do. But for God, well, that's what he does the best. Amen? To save a wretch like me. Amen? Hey, accept it. Folks, it's not just hard to become a Christian. It is impossible to become a Christian. It's important for us to understand it's hard to get saved. And when you're trying to lead somebody to Christ, it's not hard for them to be saved. Christ already did it all that is needed for them to be saved. It's just like some of you in the hospital. You may have a problem, but you won't go to the hospital. They could get in there. I had an appendix. I spent 2 days. First had a little bit of a, I thought it was an indigestion. The next day, I'm dropping Rennies all day long, man. Trying to get rid of it. I thought it was indigestion. Why go to the doctor? Why go to the hospital? It's just a little indigestion. 11 o'clock at night, I can't sit up. I'm just like this. And I phoned the hospital because we didn't have a South Dock or anything like that. And I said, can I come in? And I come in there and they rush me in. They knew what to do. They knew, you got an appendicitis. It's perforated. It's about to burst. You're going to die. Sign this real quick. Because we got to operate. You know, they knew what to do. I was just unaware of what I needed to do, and that was come through the door. Amen. I couldn't operate on myself. I couldn't fix the thing. So, it's hard to get saved. But thank God it works. Amen. And if you find people hard to lead to Christ, it's because it's hard for them to finally just trust him. But only trust him and they find salvation. Amen? Second thing I want to say. You say you're born again, blood bought. Don't you still find it hard to trust God? There's not only hard to get saved, it's hard to trust God. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 37, verse 7. Psalm 37 and verse 7. Psalm 37, verse 27. I'll get there. I said 27, verse 7, sorry. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. We have a problem with that, don't we? And wait patiently for him. Oh, we have a problem with that. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. Somebody else is getting away with it. They're not in trouble. They seem to be doing okay. Because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, he even commands, he says, cease from anger, because you do get angry. And forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. The point is, we do. It's hard to rest. It's hard to wait. It's hard to trust. And it's not because God fails. It's not because God cannot do what he says he's going to do. It's because our hearts don't easily rest in his care. Look at Mark chapter 4. Let me show you how hard it is to trust God and how hard it was for the disciples. Mark chapter 4, two times in the book of Mark. I thought they were really cool. Mark chapter 4, Jesus pushes his disciples onto a boat. Mark chapter 4 and verse 45. That's not true. 6:45 maybe. Yep, 6:45. And then 4:35 it should be. I had a problem with this. Eyesight's going. Start with Mark 6. I'm sorry. 6:45. Straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. To constrain means he had to actually push them in. Straightway, he constrained the disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side before to Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, somewhere around 3 a.m. in the morning, he cometh unto them, and of course, he's walking on the water, amen. It's not fair, amen. But he's walking on the sea, and he would have passed by them. But look at verse 49. They are terrified. Even the presence of Jesus at that moment was terrifying. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit and not really Jesus, and they cry out. And when grown men cry out, you know there's a problem. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, "Hey, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore. They hurt. They were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Now go back to chapter 4 and verse 35. Two times here, I have it in reverse. I went to chapter 6, but it's okay. Chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when even was come, this is a different time that he's sending them over across the Sea of Galilee. "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. So they put him in the ship, put him down for a nap. And there he was also with, and there was also with him other little ships. So there's a little group of ships going across the sea. And there arose, as there usually did, a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full as if of water. And he was in the hinder, the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and have you never prayed this? "Master, carest not that I perish?" You ever prayed that? I have. Are they finding it hard to trust the Lord? One time, he's not in the ship. The first time, he is in the ship, and they don't trust him. The next time, he's back praying for them, and they don't trust him. If they found it hard, what do you think we're going to find? He goes on. "Carest not that we perish," verse 39. "He arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith?" And they feared even more. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man have we got with us?" Amen. "That even the wind and the waves and the seas obey him." Folks, just admit it. It is hard to trust the Lord. Fears overwhelm our faith. Troubles bring on lots of confusion. You know what we ask? We say, "God, why do you allow this in my life? Why do you have me going through this? Where did you go?" is what we say a lot. And we'll look around and he says, "What happened to all the blessings that I was counting on? I thought you were going to take care of me." And folks, the hardest thing you will do is live your life believing God instead of your senses. Three Hebrew children, as they stood there before Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar says, "You will bow or you'll burn. What God is able to deliver you from my hand?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looked at him and said, in unison, said, "Our God is able. But if he doesn't, it's all right with us." And then when they tie them up with their own clothes and push them toward that fire, you know what those boys said? "We're going home. God is worth it." And if you've never read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, you need to get it. Because there are countless tens of thousands of people who have faced the stake and faced persecution like you've never dreamed. And they sang. And they testified of the grace and the goodness of God because they believed God and his promises more than their senses. It was hard for them. And Hebrews chapter 11 says going through people who lived by faith and they suffered so many things, and it says the world was not worthy of them. Folks, the hardest thing you'll ever do is live your life believing God instead of your senses. Yet as hard as it is, trusting only in Jesus is a wonderful way to live. You know, if you just rest in Jesus, trust in Him, you'll sing in prison. You'll pray when you have nothing to hold on to. You'll praise when tears are rolling down your face in defeat. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. He said, thank you for my trouble. Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, thy laws, thy right ways. Luke chapter 22 and verse 28. The third thing about being a Christian. It's hard getting saved. Joseph, do you remember the first time you came to church and you ran out? And talking to him, talking to a wall, man. It was hard. But it worked. You know, most of us, we don't remember how hard it was for us to finally admit we're lost and we needed Jesus. Amen? It's hard to get saved. It's not hard for God to save us. It's hard for us to get to the place where we're willing to be saved. It's not only that, it's hard to trust the Lord when everything around us is saying, run. Give up. Don't trust Him. The third thing is, it's hard to stay faithful. Get to this. And just obeying. Luke 22:28, Jesus says these words. And there's such a pull on me, and I believe, I pray for you. Look at what He says to His apostles. He's already lost everybody. Everybody there, everybody except the 12 has gone home. And He says this, ye are they which have continued, underline that word continued. Ye are they which have continued with me in my troubles, in my temptations. This is the biggest problem area most Christians have. People will get born again, amen, as hard as that is. They'll start reading their Bible. They'll start coming regularly to church. They'll start praying about things. And then the times get tough. And then they fall backward. They find themselves giving into temptation. They find themselves wanting to quit. And they'll say these words, I just can't live it. I just can't be a Christian all the time. You ever prayed that? You ever said that? Come on, nod your head. And I want to say it is hard to keep up with the Lord. Those disciples, when they signed up to go with the Lord, I bet they didn't realize how little sleep they were going to get. I bet they didn't realize how hungry they were going to get sometimes. They, just like everybody else, went 3 days without eating sometimes. Jesus gets so busy and going, they had no chance to go and get food. They were hungry. There were times when the disciples were worn out, where they would meet problems and they're supposed to be able to heal and they couldn't heal. And God said, you got to fast when you pray. And they're finding out it's hard to fast. It's hard to pray about some of these demonic things that are bigger than us. And they found out it was hard. And you'll find out it's hard to read through your Bible. Some of you have started to read your Bible through this year. You're going to give up very quickly. Don't you do it. It's hard. It's the name of the game. It's not RTE guide. It's the Holy Bible. You'll find that testifying to people in your life that are around you about their need to turn to Christ is hard. I seriously, when I got saved, I had no concept of how hard it was going to be to win people to Christ. I went to school, had a fistful of tracts, handed them out to all my buddies, and had them thrown back in my face. I thought they'd want what I had. I thought the light would come on. I thought the penny would drop. I thought everybody would say, man, look what happened to Craig. I want what he's got. They thought I was on prescription drugs. That's what they thought I was on. They didn't think I was on any mind-altering drugs, amen. You'll find it hard to pray about everything. You'll find it hard to put away sinful habits and bad friends. Amen. It's hard. Somebody says, I wish I could just get rid of this problem. Amen. You'll find that ministering and serving other people who don't appreciate you is hard. You'll find that loving the unlovable, ladies, you listening? Talking about your husband. You'll find that loving the unlovable, and men, you know that sometimes happens too, back the other way. It's hard. You'll find that praising God for every blessing and every trial is very hard. Amen? It's hard. And you know what? It's hard to stay faithful because we're not willing to endure. I just got back from the States because I went to go deal with a problem. And it's a problem that's in every relationship that you have, and mainly in marriage. We think that when we get married, oh, she's easy to love. She's so soft. She's so sweet. She's never gotten mad yet. And then the wedding day comes. She puts her foot down on your neck. And you find out it's hard. Some of you don't believe me and you won't believe me. But marriage is hard. And God calls you to endure. Amen. You may think, oh, we're just going to stay in love. No, you're going to stay in the marriage. Amen. That's what you're going to do. You're going to work things out. You know what Paul did? One day, he's out there on an island. It's raining. It's called Malta now. It's called Miletus then. They were building a fire. It was just torrential rain. They were drenched. They were trying to build a fire. And as he was picking up the logs, and as he was putting it over by the fire, a snake jumped out of that log and grabbed on his arm. A venomous snake that should have killed him in 30 seconds. You know what Paul did? He screamed like a girl. No, he didn't. You would have. I would have. He just shook it off. And he went back to building the fire. You see, we hit a bump in the road and something goes wrong and the venom in your mate comes out. And we scream like a girl. Just shake it off. Endure it. Brother Leo said, you don't have to be right. You have to stay married. Amen. Amen. Be willing. We are. The reason why we find it hard to obey God is because we don't endure the hardness of obeying God. I've never found it throughout the pages of the Bible that to do what Christ asks is going to be the easiest thing you ever did. No. It's going to be hard. But as I've said, it's worth it. I'll talk about that in just a second. It's hard, secondly, because we're not walking with the Lord, and I'm dead serious. If you're finding it hard to read your Bible, if you're finding it hard to come to church, I'm going to tell you why. It's because you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. If church is a bore, if church is just agonizing to you, I will bet you that you have no prayer time, you have no time in the Bible at home, you sit in front of that stupid idiot box all day, and then when you come to church, you have no walk with God, so it means nothing to you. You can't endure because you are not drawing on his strength and on his presence. You know what church ought to be? It ought to be a bunch of coals brought together, and when they get together, then they radiate a lot of heat. But if you're burned out, I'm hoping that some other heat will get you started, but you better want to have the heat. You better want to have the relationship with God. If my message, if you come to church, does not motivate you to want to get back into the book, to want to get you on the side of your bed, crying out to God, casting all of your care upon Him, then I failed. Because that is your only hope. Church is an exercise. That is a delight. It's hard to endure sometimes, especially when I don't know what time it is and when I need to quit. Amen. We're not willing to endure. We're not walking with the Lord. Usually we're way ahead of Him or way behind Him. Your strength will only come from a private, quiet time in worship and devotion of Jesus. And if you are saved and you're not walking with Jesus every day, shame on you, because you're going to find it hard. You're going to want to give up. Third reason, we're not drawing our abilities from the Lord. I just can't do it. Of course you can't do it. He gives you the ability to do it. He gifts us with what we cannot do. Aren't you glad He makes up for our lack? So if you got to do something that you cannot do, guess what you can do? You can go to the great superstore of all grace to help in time of need. And you can say, Lord, I've got to face this problem. I've got to face this person. I've got to face this debt. I've got to face this bill. And I can't do it. And the Lord says, you came to the right place. Amen. Does that make sense? And if you're finding it hard to face that, it's because you're not getting His ability. And I can't help you. I don't have deep pockets. But I've got somebody whose riches in glory are beyond our dreams. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. If you're living on only your own strength, you'll find out that you only have weakness. And fourthly, we're not really convinced that it's worth it at all. Those of you who are here, you're kind of convinced, I know, because you're here. But there are going to be times when you get so discouraged. And let me just remind you, it is worth it all. It is worth it. Let me tell you, doing the will of God is worth it no matter the cost. Jesus said the will of God is worth it. Paul said the will of God is worth it. Peter said the will of God is worth it. Everything that Christ asked Peter to do turned out awesome. When Peter's on the ship and he's fished all night long two times, Jesus comes walking by and Jesus says, hey, Peter, you got any fish? And Peter says, no. And everything Jesus asked him to do, watch what happens. Jesus said, why don't you cast on the other side? Well, that's stupid. The fish are in the water. If it's not over there, what do you mean is the fish are over there? They don't go like that. Jesus said, just do it. So he picks the nets up and he throws it. And as soon as it hits the water, the fish start jumping into the net. Everything Christ asked Peter to do, what's up? So you know what Peter says there in 1 Peter 4? He says, even if it's suffering, if it's the will of God, it's worth it. Peter learned that. Because there was one time that Christ said, will you not walk with me? Will you not stay with me? And he says, I can't. And he turned his back and he didn't try. And he regretted it for the rest of his life. He even denied knowing him. Because when you turn away and you think it's too hard, you'll miss out on a great blessing. So, look at John 16, and we'll wrap this up. John chapter 16. You need to be prepared for troubles. John chapter 16, verse 1. And I like this word offended. You know what the word offended means? Upset. John chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh when they that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God a service. Look at verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What is Jesus saying? Be prepared for troubles. And if you're going to follow the Lord, be ready to lose some things. You're probably going to lose some friends. You know what you're going to do? You're probably going to lose some money serving the Lord. You're probably going to lose some time serving the Lord. So be ready to lose some things. And third, be ready to live for the long haul. You know what you need to be able to say? As long as the Lord gives me breath, I want to serve Him, no matter the cost. And by way of conclusion, sometimes doing the will of God is painful. Would you agree with me? Let's just be honest. I don't want to paint a pretty picture and say, why don't you get saved? It's a good Christian life. And I believe it is a good life. I believe it's the best life. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the Christian life is hard. But I'd rather be against the devil than against God.
Amen.
Because He's got a whole lot more grace than the devil ever had for me. Some doors that God opens are hard to go through. Amen. You thought it was easy going through the door of marriage for that hunk of a man? You thought it was easy going through the door of just believing the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved? You says, man, I put it off. I resisted. I fought it, but I'm so glad I'm saved. And then you find out God has a will for your life that is probably not what you wanted. Some doors are hard to go through. But I have found, as I said, that when I did go through whatever door God opened, and some of you, hey, we're kind of healthy. But if you have to face the hospital, you have to face a constant series of doctors, you have to face a series of bankers, you have to face a series of court cases, and the Lord's brought you to that place, I don't care what you go through, just realize, Jesus said, I will go with you. When thou passest through the waters, through the floods, through the fire, I'll be with you. Folks, Christian life is not an easy life, but it's worth it because God always gave me something more valuable that I wouldn't trade for anything. You know what God gives us? He gives us His presence. I think if nothing else, somebody said this about heaven. It says, you know what's going to make heaven so valuable to me? Not the streets of gold, not the mansions, not the rewards. You know what's going to make it heaven for me? Jesus. And you know what? Can I say this? If that's going to make heaven so powerful and so wonderful, what do you think it'll do for this life if Jesus was with you? Trials ensure the presence of Jesus Christ. If you ain't got no trial, maybe you ought to pray for one. Maybe you ought to say, Lord, I'd like to think I'm ready. Amen? Because when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me, David said. The presence of God. There ought to be some things that you ought to just instantly know that are true about every trial you go through and every valley you go through. When it is you going through God's doors and you say, how about just knowing that I'm forgiven? If I get no other material blessing, I'm forgiven. I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm right with God. How about knowing that God has a plan, that when He saved you, He didn't just say, all right, you're on your own. He said, now let's get to work. That's awesome. That is a thrill, a minute for me. John and Dan knows when I'm away, they just sit. But when I come around and I am in the office, it's work and work and work because we got a plan. We've got things to do. Amen? They don't just sit. But they tell me they're just sitting around. And you know, when God saved your soul, He steps in your life, He says, get out of bed. Let's get going. Amen? Because He's got a plan. And that, listen, that is good. Even when He's going through some trials, you've got the peace of God. I not only am at peace with God, but He just pours out His peace on. Doesn't that make it worthwhile? Jesus was asleep in that boat, and the boat was sinking. You know what would have happened? You know what I really believe would have happened? That boat would have gone to the bottom, and those disciples would have been still sitting there going. And they're floating on the top, man. All 12 of them would have been walking on the water if they just would have said, all right, well, if He's sleeping, we're okay. If He's at rest, we might as well be at rest. Pass me the cakes. Amen. The peace of God. How about the joy of God? Some of you are so sinking sour, a lemon looks good. Amen. It is so wrong that we don't have the joy of the Lord. And the honest truth is, God only gives you that when you need it. See, we're waiting for a feeling. We're like, we're waiting for this thing to just overwhelm us. And he says, it's right there. Just head into the water. Just head into the river. Just head into the fire. And you will know the joy of the Lord. Because when he opens the door, and this whole year, the concept is this, every door he opens is going to be hard. This next month, we're going to focus on evangelism and focus on opening our mouth and opening doors and going through doors, and we're going to find it hard. But I want the joy of the Lord. You'll never know such joy as to see somebody listen to you and go, I never knew all that. Do you mean I can get saved right now? And you'll go, yeah. But could you help me pray?
Can I help you pray?
Yes! And you'll come away from that thing and you'll be walking 3 feet off the ground. Because there's such joy in leading someone to Christ. Amen. Some of you have never known the joy of a home. And in June, when we talk about the open door of our homes, not the open door for sin to come in, but for the open door for joy to be there, when you finally know what it means to be a wife, when you finally know what it means to be a husband, when you finally know how to bless instead of burst, you will find such joy you wouldn't want to trade it for €1 million. The joy of the Lord. That'll make up for whatever hell you've been through. Amen. The rewards of God. You know why I put those last? Because they don't compare to these things, but there are rewards, aren't there? There are rewards God gives us in heaven and in this life. But I think heaven itself, I mean, I'm going to heaven. Somebody back in the 1930s, his name was John Rice. John Rice was an evangelist, and he was preaching, and he preached against pubs and drinking and the liquor industry and everything. And one guy, as he left the service, was going back behind this big auditorium with about 20,000 people. And as he was leaving, a man met him and pulled a gun and put it right to his chest. He said, say your prayers, preacher. The guy took off his hat, and he said, I already did. And he said, you're about to meet your maker. He said, I can't wait. He said, aren't you afraid? He said, you can't scare me with heaven. Amen. Amen. That guy says, you're weird. He says, no, I'm born again, blood bought, saved by the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you like to get born again? You can get saved right now. And the guy freaked out and left. Amen. Something about heaven, when it takes over, just makes us, well, troubles don't bother us. Amen. Folks, it's all worth it. Would you agree? You may be going home to hell on earth. You may be facing into valleys that are unfathomable. You may be going through such fiery trials. You'll be normal. Just mark it down. The vipers are going to strike. The ships are going to sink. Everything's going to go wrong. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm here to tell you, he's worth just staying the course, because it's only a little while. If our life is but a vapor, I can't wait till it's over. Let me just finish up. Don't miss God's doors. Don't miss his doors. You'll miss this all. You'll miss everything if you don't take up Christ's cross and start following him. He didn't say, take up my blanket. Don't take up my pillow. Don't take up my miracles. He said, take up my cross. How often do we need to do it? Luke says, daily. And follow me. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I tell you what, as rough as it is as a Christian, I wouldn't trade for the world, because my life before I got saved was far more rough. I just never would admit it. I was too proud to admit I was stupid. I may still be stupid, but I am at rest now. Amen. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Let me just read this. If it is worth it, you will be able to pray this prayer. Dear God, I want to thank you for what you have already done for me. I'm not going to wait until I see results or receive rewards anymore. I am thanking you right now. I'm not going to wait until I feel better or until things in my life look better. I have decided to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until people say they're sorry or until they stop talking about me. I am thanking you right now. I'm not going to wait until my pain in my body disappears. I am going to go ahead and thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until my financial situation improves. I'm just going to thank you anyway. I'm not going to wait until my children are asleep and the house is quiet. I'm going to go ahead and thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until I get promoted at work or until I get a job. I am going to thank you right now. I'm not going to wait until the journey gets easier and the challenges are all removed. I am thanking you right now. I am thanking you because I am alive, and more than that, I am alive in Christ. I am thanking you because I have made it through today's difficulties by your grace. I am thanking you because I now have the ability and the opportunity to do more and to do better by your grace. I'm thanking you simply, Father, because you haven't given up on me. You'll miss the ability to pray that prayer if you miss God's doors. And if you don't learn this lesson, let's stand and let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have settled for every door except the one that you have for us. We want the door of no problem. We want the door of ease. We want the door of no pain. We want the door of no troubles. And yet those doors aren't open to us. But there is one door, and that is your will. And sometimes, and oftentimes, that is hard. But there is such a presence when we obey, and when we walk with the Lord, and when we trust in Jesus. When we just go ahead and step out by faith and follow you. Lord, that one door I know is open right now. There is not a lot of doors that are open, but there is one that I am sure, guaranteed open, and that is the door to Jesus. We have such a door of prayer, and yet we use it so little. There's such a door of evangelism, and yet we use it so little. There is such a door. There's such a door of the will of God, and we're afraid of going through it. And this morning, I pray we will not let any hardship stop us, because we earnestly desire your presence, your joy, your peace, your plan, your rewards. And if just getting saved was all I got, it was enough. Just being forgiven is enough, but it doesn't stop there. You keep pouring it out. If only I'll follow. Would you please help every person in this room decide to just keep following, to just keep growing. The doors that we face are going to be hard, but it isn't about time we just settled. Whatever comes, we're going to shake it off. We got a job to do. We got a church to build. We got a family to save. We've got a world to turn upside down. Hey, none of it's going to be easy. By your grace, we want to go ahead and thank you anyway, because you haven't given up on us. I love you, Lord. I pray you draw every person to Jesus now. I pray for the person who's not born again that they get saved. I pray for the Christian who is saved to get back to trusting you. And I pray for everybody who's trusting you to stay trusting, stay obedient, stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.